Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 8:35 Central African time, and that time of the morning where we join our very own Member of Parliament, the leader of the NFP, Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Another firebrand that calls a spade a spade. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful Sunday Ramadan morning, Ahmad.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, nice morning in Durban though. A little bit chilly this morning, cloudy weather. Came from a very hot Lambert's Bay yesterday. There's been 12 further deaths reported in the country, 100,096 four of which were occurred in the last 24 hours, with 1,183 new infections. Now, if you saw the latest scandal in terms of the water and sanitation and the state of water and sanitation in the country and the investigation that was initiated by former Minister Lindiwe Sisulu, which minister who took over from Senzo Mkhulu ought to have continued. And for some reason or the other, it looks like they were doing damage control, because they were, in terms of the report, senior politicians and, you know, in the ANC and other institutions that have been involved in high levels of corruption, and for that reason. Now, the question that arises, is that the reason why Lindiwe Sisulu, who was starting to do a good job in this particular department, and we have a crisis in the country with water particularly and sanitation, was removed in such a short space of time, where there was not even an opportunity to do a proper handover as well? So, you know, that's the serious concern. Now, the irony of the next one I'd like you to deal with, Brother Shefford. If you remember, the ANC had their conference in Mango. The very same Mangaung has been put under national administration by corporate governance and traditional reform. The very same Mangaung, yes, the president and his cabinet go there and promise them the world now, saying they're going to come back, and now they're going to bring a difference and a change in their lives. So, I mean, you had the conference there, you made a lot of progresses there, you did nothing, you deteriorated over the period of time, and now you go back there again with a dream of telling them that you're going to be able to, you're going to bring about change. That's why you're actually coming, expecting people to really take us seriously if we conduct ourselves. Look at this Msunduzi municipality, 33 million rand missing in pension funds, man. Of course, we know that our brother Imran Khan has had a setback. It's very unfortunate, you know, how. But it tells you something about politics, Brother Shefford, particularly coalitions, how political parties, particularly smaller political parties, are used and how they can destroy a nation, how they are used for their 1, 2, and 3 seats. You know, and how they get manipulated by other political parties. And obviously, it will have to be for some selfish gain that they will jump from one ship to the other ship all the time. So really, it's a matter for serious concern that when you put in leaders of this caliber who forget about their mandate of the electorate, but go out there and are influenced. Their decisions are influenced by what they're getting in return. And I did see that one video of one of the leaders getting what I think you call a good hiding in our old terms. But yeah, that's where we are with some of the things that are happening. The issue of the foreigners is really getting out of control. Even the police are heavy-handed in their approach. President has raised that concern as well. Operation Dudula is gaining momentum. There's no doubt. So, you know, if you look at it, you know, I was in Lambert's Bay, Brother Shafford, yesterday and the day before. And I want to tell you, you know, beautiful seaside resort. But, you know, when you look at the people, you can see poverty, you can see hunger, you can see malnutrition just by looking at the people. That's how bad it is. A beautiful seaside town, and this is the state, still controlled by white monopoly capitalists, okay? The mainly colored community that live there have got very little, nothing to show for, believe me. You know, so really, I think we have not made much progress in the 28 years of democracy, I think we forgot why we are here and what our mandate was and the vision that we originally promised people. That's all in the past.
You know, Ahmad, I was certain listeners this morning have sent quotes of Thuli Madonsela, and I just went and I opened it up and I'm looking at it. Thuli Madonsela, and on her Facebook, she says, okay, so South Africa is on the brink of total disaster. Now, Facebook will probably now ban me for life, although this is not racist, but the truth needs to be spoken. Listen to what she said. I can only ask the black population what happened. What happened to this beautiful, prospering country and its wonderful people that God had the idea of paradise? How did you sink to the stage where murdering, raping, looting, destroying cities, your neighborhoods, stadiums, swimming pools, railways, and other transport, and behaving like uncivilized animals because normal life, because normal in your lives is not normal. There's almost nothing left. Yes, this is criminal. How do you respond to her? She even goes on attacking Cyril Ramaphosa and all the rich elites. She said, how can you live in your big, big mansions where the people are not having a decent meals? You have the gall of giving them a stipend of 350 rands a month whilst you are spending, you know, millions and millions on your luxurious lifestyle. And people like Julius Malema, you go to the boutiques and you buy 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 rand suits and so forth. Madonsela calling a spade, how do you react to her, Ahmad?
But I don't think Julius Malema is buying a 1,000, 2,000. His suits are 40, 50,000. But let me tell you, had it been any other race group that says that, then they'll say you are racist. And the former public protectors got it absolutely correct. You need to ask yourself, and we've raised this in your platform, Brother Shepherd. It's one of the few countries in the world where the majority is in control, governing, yet you have to put special measures in place, which is also not effective and not working, like BEE and affirmative action and everything, to try and protect the majority. Normally, you would put in laws to protect the minority. Yeah, you have to put in laws to protect the majority. So the question she's asking is correct. She needs to ask the black brothers and sisters, what has gone wrong? Why is it going wrong? Because you are in charge, and your people are hungry, and they're starving. That's the correct version of it. I can tell you now, she's correct. She's absolutely correct when she says that the levels of inequality is rising, that there's a bigger gap between the rich and the poor now than there's been even before. And she's correct when she says that some are living this high lifestyle while the others are starving, actually starving. That's what it means. Now, the question is, are they going to do anything about it? No. If you look at the every other day, including this morning and yesterday, there's new scandals all the time. If you look at the way that when I was in Lamberts Bay yesterday, there's a motion, I think, of no confidence tomorrow, where they're trying to overthrow the DA, that is the ANC and the PA together. So they were busy with those meetings to overthrow. Same thing's happening in many KwaZulu-Natal towns all over. It's all about power and control. Control of what? They're not even interested in the actual position, they're interested in the resources that come with it. That is what it is all about. And it's not about the people. When I said that we created 17,500 black millionaires and multimillionaires, it's what I was referring to, Brother Shepherd. And that's what she's referring to. There are people that have enriched themselves at the expense of the poorest of the poor. So the question that must be asked and must be asked to the black majority, where have we gone wrong? Why are you doing what you're doing? Because you have the power to change that, but you're not doing that. You are the ones that's putting these people in who is going to decide your fate. So when you're going hungry, it is because you put this person in to get you to be hungry, because this person you put there is the choice that you made. So she's correct that we are not addressing. Look at this issue of this water and sanitation thing, running into what, 30 somewhat billions or even more. And when the minister investigates it, you get another minister to come and shut it down. okay, and you remove, and she was doing a good job. So you can see that when you want to do the right things, the opposition you get, how you get removed, this is what is happening. So I'm never convinced when leadership in this country says that we're going to do this, we're going to change. This thing of Mangoong is no different. They tell the people when they address them before the conference how they're going to change Mangoong, but they changed it for the worse. Now you're going back and making the same problem. We've only had promises and promises year in and year out. So it's not going to change anytime soon, Brother Shepherd, unless you change the mindset of the electorate, the people who are responsible to vote. If you take Itegwini, it's in a crisis, Brother Shepherd. When I tell you crisis, the understatement. Even in the Western Cape, if you look at the crisis that they are facing there with housing, water, sanitation, the health services, which is a provincial mandate, you'll be shocked. And yet people come out there and say, I'm doing this, I'm doing better than this, and I can... No, they don't have the interest of the people at heart. That's the problem. So you need to change the mindset of the people, and people will have to rise if they want a better South Africa for the generations to come. If they're not going to do it, I can tell you we will have to be held responsible because we did not create a conducive environment for our young children and grandchildren to thrive in the country, because the country is going downhill, and it's going downhill so fast. When I said in Parliament that we are a failed state, that's what I was talking about. We have failed. The World Economic Forum is saying the same thing. There's a state collapse imminent in South Africa. That's where we are heading for. So let us not downplay the seriousness of what is happening in the country. If you read in the last week, Brother Shepherd, every media, you know, that you read through, crime is so rampant. You are hearing of murders. If you saw the list, 30 people are dying in this country of gun violence alone, being shot and killed. 30 a day. And we're saying it's fine, keep guns. I said you should have a gun-free South Africa, so not a single soul, because you must have a gun. And over a period of time, you can then take it, leave it to the law enforcement, and slowly get it away from. But in a couple of years, have no firearms in South Africa at all, because not everybody can own a firearm, and the criminals get them much easier, so it's better not to have them at all. But this is...
Yeah, but you know, you talk about people that have licensed firearms. They are the ones that are being targeted. I mean, all that what you're doing, and then when you have a ballistic test, you can trace a licensed firearm. But these criminals, I mean, you can buy the firearms from anyone, and it seems like every third person has got an illegal firearm. Your thoughts?
Yes, because police officers have been found selling them too. But what is important is this, that, you know, anybody who's got a firearm and a criminal approaches you is going to shoot you. Because he knows if he's not going to shoot you, you're going to shoot him. That's why the police officers are dying, even though they got firearms. The criminals know we must shoot the police officer. You can't talk to him. You can't approach him. You cannot do anything to him because he's got a firearm. The only thing you can do is you have to shoot him. And that's why they die so fast. So don't you think it might be a better if... environment if we had no firearms allowed in South Africa at all? But how are you going to do that? Because business wants firearms. It's an industry on its own. It's an industry on its own. You'll have a farmer who's got a firearm.
Mm.
It's of no use because a half a dozen people are going there with AK-47. And so what is one little firearm going to do when these people are going there with AK-47 and rifles and everything? Nothing. So it's better not to have, in other words, not a single soul eventually. Remember, Brother Shafat, during the many years ago, police never used to use their firearm to apprehend anybody. They used to come there, grab you, throw you into the bucky. No, not put you, not nicely, no. Throw you physically into the bucky and bang those doors behind and lock it. Nobody questioned it. Today, if you just hold the hand of a criminal a bit tight, You got a problem. They're taking you to Human Rights Commission. They're charging you. IPA jumps in. This is the problem we got. Criminals don't respect the law at all.
Yeah, absolutely, Ahmed. Then before I let you go, I'm still reading Tuli Madonsela's post. She says, ask the Zondo Commission why none of the corrupt people who stole your life and your children's future are in jail. Ask the Minister of Education why after 26 years your child must attend a school that looks like a shed for animals. Hey, she's really rocking it here, Ahmed.
Well, again, every time you ask the Minister of Education, she's defending herself. And her colleagues defend her. But look at the quality of education, the quality of the schools that the children must attend. You know, and every year she promises we'll eradicate pit toilets. She actually brags about the quality of education. I don't know. That is why I said you're out of touch with the reality. That's the problem. So, you know, I'm glad that people like Tuli Madonsela is coming up into the open, because when it comes from anybody else, then people become defensive. Let's see how they would react to her, because she's correct in her observations. There is no need for us, Brother Shepherd, to be in the situation we are in. No, there isn't. South Africa has a lot of resources made available. The problem is that resources are mismanaged, going into the pockets of a few. And that's where the problem is taking
place. Yeah, absolutely, Ahmed. And, you know, JazakAllah Khair for being with us this morning. Perhaps your parting words.
Well, you know, you can see the state of the country at the moment, the state of the economy. You can see the even what Tuli Madonsela is saying. She says, in an ABC language, the people should take responsibility for why you are where you are today, because you have been making the wrong decisions. You have what it takes to make the right decision and change your own life. But if you continue being manipulated by a few, you're going to continue living this kind of life or even worse. So I think people, that's the message I want to get. Apply your minds, make the right decision, become part of the solution, because some of us may not be here in 10, 20 years or wherever, we don't know it. But what about the generations to come? What is going to happen? Don't we want to leave them in an environment that we know they're going to be safe, they're going to be secure, they're going to be able to thrive, they'll be able to live a comfortable life, they would have food, clothing and shelter? This is my message to our people. Think about it. It's very, very serious at the moment. South Africa is going downhill faster than many other African countries went.
You know, Ahmed, I'm going to still indulge you, because people say, keep Ahmed on, Chef. He's rocking. Okay. Hey, you got a big following here. They say, keep you on. Okay. This is what Tuli Madonsela says. The moment you start demanding your rights, they use things like land and apartheid and racism to distract you. Yes, they... Mm. They are big on promising lands, but what will you do when you have the land? Where will you get the money for seed or cattle? Where will you get money for food for a year or three till your farm produce? I mean, she's making a lot of sense. You know, whenever your issues are brought up that you're not delivering, you're telling the government that, who they blame it? They blame it on apartheid. Tuli Madonsela is really walking the talk here, Ahmed.
28 years later, you're still blaming apartheid for everything. What did apartheid did to leave the condition of these roads that I'm looking at right now? What did apartheid? Apartheid created these roads, these beautiful roads. What did you do with it? Even though you had separate education, it was still better quality of education that you're having right now. And yet we have the opportunity and the resources to be able to do that. So she's correct, and I'm glad that she's speaking up, because the time has come for leaders like her that are respected in the country to be able to be vocal. Not align yourselves to the political parties that are doing the wrong thing, but to be vocal so people can understand what is going on in the country. Everything they blame apartheid. Now she raises a very important question. What is the value of a piece of land if you don't know what to do with it and you don't have the resources to go and work it? What are you going to do with it? You've got an example of the amount of land that you have given to those people, to farmers and things, many of which have become redundant. They are standing with nothing to be done. They can't. They don't have the skills. They don't have the resources. They don't have nothing. Others have taken it and sold it back to the same white farmers in any event. Okay? So the problem is, it's not about just giving the land, but it's about giving the land and also giving them the skills, transferring the skills, the resources, managing them, because these people, Brother Shepherd, had no education, nothing at all, no skills to farm. Is the big difference between working on a farm and becoming a farm owner. So even when you give them money, you can't give them money and expect them to make a success out of it. If you don't, together with that money, give them management skills, farming skills, everything that goes with them, how to deal with workers, everything. If you don't do that, in other words, I'm saying, you need to nurse them to success. Because they were disadvantaged, they never had that skill. It's the difference between growing some veg in your yard and going and owning a commercial farm. And she's correct. Nothing of that sort is happening, and that is why most of those farms are standing. And if you continue that way, believe me, you'll have a problem with food security in this country some day, because you would have transferred all the land from the white to the black, and the black would have... Some of them are successful, most of them are not. And what is going to happen, you'll have a problem with food security in the country as well.
Absolutely. I mean, and then further, she says that 90% of whites don't want land because they know they don't have the money or the knowledge to be farmers. It's a time to say enough is enough and get rid of all parties who keep lying and stealing and make empty promises. We need one uncorrupted government with a true president, black, white, colored or Indian, who puts the people of South Africa first. Ahmed?
Well, I can't see an Indian, white or a colored president anytime soon. It won't happen in my time, I know for sure. Right? Because of the politics of today. But then she must become the solution. If she has what it takes, if she has integrity, she's got value, she's got skills, she's articulate, then she must become part of the solution, Brother Shafir. Because this is what we need. And I want to say this again and again, and we've discussed this on your radio stations. You know that. That what we need is there's too many political parties offering nothing, all got their own selfie. We need, South Africa doesn't need so many political parties. You must have only two or three at the most. So that when one does not deliver, the other one must remove them. And when they don't deliver, they too must be removed eventually. But what is very important, what she is saying, that like-minded people, you know, must come together and form a coalition, a government. And that is why I've been saying to the president, why don't you consider, Mr. President, a government of national unity, a government of more inclusive government, where you will bring skills from different political parties, so you don't come here bashing each other, attacking each other, but you'll work together in the interest of the country. The ANC is selfish. They won't want to do it. But more importantly, Brother Shepherd, I've had my meeting a couple of weeks ago with all the small opposition parties. And let me tell you, they are all obsessed with removing the ANC. This is all they are interested in. They are obsessed. Even though they don't even know how they're going to do it, they're expecting you being separate parties to form coalitions and work together. But they are obsessed with removing the ANC. That already is the wrong reason why you want to be in politics. You should not be there to remove somebody. You should be there to address the challenges, the weaknesses that we face in the country and how you're going to find solutions for them. That is what it is about. But here they are obsessed. It's just like, you know, when it will be the other way around. If the DA took over, everybody will be obsessed with attacking the DA. It's exactly the same thing. So they attack each other because they want control and power and they want to get their hands on the money. That is what it is about. So we need an articulate leader with the highest level of integrity and passion who lives, eats, sleeps, talk, walk people. And if that's what if we can get, I can tell you that political party will thrive in South Africa. The only difference is that it's not easy to get to that stage because you have limited resources, Brother Shafir. And when you have limited resources, and these that are governing wherever they are governing, are in control of the resources in the different municipalities, provinces, and national governments. Because they control these things, they have access to that revenue, that funding. And that is what they use to be able to promote their interest. And that's the problem. So when you become like a new policy, the Action SA was able to make some ground because of the funding that, you know, the Herman Mashaba himself, coming from a big business background, has had the availability of resources. And there are people in this country that can make a difference. And they must be part of that solution. But again, I want to say it's not easy because even the resources is in the hands of those that are governing wherever they are governing.
Yeah, but then they will tell now, you say, yeah, Tuni Madonsela is captured by a white monopoly capital, and they'll, you know, pick on her marriage because her husband happens to be white, Ahmed.
Well, they did the same thing with Julia, what's his name, Maimane, because his wife is white. But, you know, Brother Shafat, some are playing the race card, some are playing the religious card, you understand, in order to get, like the ACDP tries to play religion, because they, you know, it's a mentality of the colonialists who use religion to divide the people in the world. Okay, so just like that, these people are using race because they know that the majority of the people in this country are of black, so they got the voting power. And the one man, one vote system gives you that power, and that's the problem you got. So they use that to divide you. But, you know, the fact of the matter is this, you must recognize people for their contribution, for their ethics, for their value, what they have to offer, rather than color. But I want to tell you, race is going to dominate the politics of South Africa for many, many years to come. And race is what is going to destroy the South Africa as a result of being exploited by political leaders in this country.
And South Africa abstaining from voting against Russia, how will that play out? Because it seems like, you know, Imran Khan was taken out of the equation because he became too friendly with Putin. He called a spade, he took them on, he got the date about Islamophobia, and he said the Islamophobia Day will be 15th of March. He questioned the Muslim leadership. He, you know, he actually took America on and told them exactly, this is my way, and you can't come and interfere in our domestic affairs. But within his own country, these hypocrites, you can call them, have sold their souls to the big devil. Your thoughts, Ahmed?
Well, Brother Shafat, we've said this before again. We are our own greatest enemies. And there's an ideal example. Look at how easily they were able to sell their principles, their values, and their ethics just to remove him. Okay? And how the West influences what happens in any country in the world. Okay, so you know, it's very, very unfortunate. But remember, exactly what happened yesterday can happen again. When it comes to coalition governments, there's no stability at all, Brother Shepherd. No stability at all. All you need is two people or one or two people from the same faction that has overthrown him now to want to come back, and then what will happen? Then you'll overthrow them again. And this is what's happening in politics all over South Africa as well. But yes, what is worrying is this. If you do the right thing, you have a lot of enemies. And you do the wrong thing, you have many friends. And if you want to take on the United States and the West, you must be prepared to face the consequences. But more importantly, you need to garner support to as many countries in the world. You cannot expect to be one or two countries in isolation that want to take on the West. The West is too big. You know, I'm sorry, I wanted to use one term, but in the month of Ramadan, I won't use it, you know, in my view of what they are. But, you know, I must tell you that unless people start first organizing themselves and creating this bloc to take on the United States united, they are going to run into trouble, because the United States yields a lot of power together with the Zionists and some others Okay. And they will cause havoc and mayhem. Now, let me tell you the stance of the South African government. They may pay an ultimate price for it, believe me. Because the United, Joe Biden has just called the president, I'm told as well. But you're not towing the line with them. So now you're expecting. Remember, they also would want you to break that BRICS relationship that you enjoy. They're not going to understand that you've got another relationship with Russia and the others because of your involvement with BRICS and whatever it is. It's not even about you wanting to be neutral. It's not about you wanting to apply principles and ethics and values. It's about what they want you to do. This is what it is all about. So it can have an effect on the South African economy because they're going to try and put measures in place to try and make it difficult for us to cause opposition, to fund organizations here that will take on the government. Because if you saw in the debates that we're taking, there was only the ANC and it was myself who gave support for Russia. I think everybody else were actually together with the DA criticizing that as well. They didn't criticize me. I don't know why, but they did criticize the ANC. That's where their target was. Yeah.
Ahmed, you're absolutely brilliant. We've run out of time. You have a lovely and a mashallah day ahead. I'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.